Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Satchel Paige. Of course you've heard of the pitcher who baffled hitters for the Cleveland Indians and the St. Louis Browns, as well as for the Pittsburgh Crawfords and the Homestead Grays. Josh Gibson. Sure, you've heard of him. He never had an opportunity to play in the white major leagues, but lots of people called him the Black Babe Ruth. But Mamie Johnson? There's a good chance you've not heard of her. A circumstance reporter Rebecca Shear will now address.
Mamie Peanut Johnson loves sharing the story of how she earned her nickname. It was 1953, her first season pitching for the Indianapolis Clowns.
The young man that I was playing ball against, he said I wasn't big as a peanut. How did I expect to strike anybody out? So I struck him out, and that's where it came from.
With thick, horn-rimmed glasses perched on her nose, a red, white, and blue clown's cap perched on her head, the petite 75-year-old is sitting in the lobby outside D.C. City Council chambers. She's getting ready to testify on a bill that would name a baseball field a stone's throw from her childhood house, the Mamie Peanut Johnson Field.
This ball field is where I was really discovered from to go to the black major leagues.
Which was an exciting moment for her, she says.
Because I always played with the boys.
She was like Skinny Minnie. But when she played with the boys, the fellas in the community, wherever they hit the ball, trust me, she would catch the ball in the outfield.
Rosalie Smith attended elementary and junior high school with Johnson in the 1940s.
And she could hit a ball, too. So the guys in the neighborhood didn't have nothing on her, trust me. She was good.
But longtime friend Jerome Gray recalls the attribute for which Johnson was to be remembered.
Of course, she was small in stature, but she had a good pitching arm. The members of the Negro Baseball League came down to watch her play, and they were very impressed.
So within 48 hours of being discovered on that field in D.C., Mamie Peanut Johnson was signed on as a pitcher with the Indianapolis Clowns. The first of her three seasons, she played alongside this guy.
My name is Pedro Sierra. I played with her 1 year, and then the other 3 years, I was with a different team in Detroit, with the Detroit Stars. But, you know, we were in the same league.
Sierra, who immigrated from Cuba when he was 16, says Johnson was like a sister to the guys on the team.
We protected her, and she looked after us, and, you know, down the line, that's the way it goes.
Did she hold her own? I mean, you know, she was a little thing. She was a little peanut. Did she hold her own out there on the field?
She was qualified and very determined and very smart.
All of which made for quite the winning combination, as D.C. Council Chair Vincent Gray points out inside council chambers during the hearing for the ball field bill.
Well, it was a 33-8 record that she had, and I bet you if you go back and look at some of the people she struck out, they were people who were considered some of the best baseball players ever to step on the field at the time. They probably didn't want to admit that she struck them out.
When Gray talks about the best players, he's referring to people like Lonnie Harris and Buck O'Neill, both of whom faced Johnson. Johnson received guidance from the great Satchel Paige, who had left the Negro League by 1950. She explains meeting with him in this 2003 interview with NPR.
He was kind enough to help me to perfect the curveball. I knew how to throw it, but the technique that he gave me helped me so much. I was able to strike a whole lot of fellas out there.
But before Johnson's successes on the Negro League field, as an African-American woman, she faced her share of challenges. When she was 17, she brought a friend to tryouts for the all-white, all-American girls professional baseball league, the one featured in the movie A League of Their Own.
They didn't let us try out. They just looked at us like we were crazy, as if to say, what do you want?
A year later, Johnson was playing pro ball with the boys.
And in fact, I'm so proud and I'm so glad that they didn't let me try out, because I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing now. I would be just another lady ball player somewhere. But now I'm proud to say I'm the only and the first lady major league pitcher.
That's why, back at D.C. Council Chambers, sports fan Michael Ackerstein says Johnson serves as a powerful role model for young African-American women.
As well as anyone else trying to succeed in a field not historically dominated by members of the race or gender. Her story really is something that inspires anyone.
And Council Chair Vincent Gray agrees. The council still must vote on the bill that would name the local ball field after Johnson, but Gray says he has a hunch how it'll go.
I have a sense, too, of what an enormous accomplishment it was for you to be able to walk out there and do what you did. So I want to take the if out of this. I think it's a win, W-H-E-N, and there will be a win, W-I-N, for you when this happens.
But as Mamie Peanut Johnson says in her testimony, she's already won now that this bill is bringing her story to light.
And it's a good thing for this to happen, because young people will know that they can do anything.
Be it following a dream, breaking a barrier, or, yes, striking out a burly baseball player when you're no bigger than a peanut. For Only a Game, I'm Rebecca Shear in Washington.
Rebecca Shear's story about Mamie Peanut Johnson will be featured in this week's program, and we'll also have a story about a sport bound to sweep the nation any day now, unicycle basketball. Speaking of basketball, Clay Callum will update us on the WNBA season. I'll be talking with ESPN's Tim Kirkchin about, among other teams, the Orioles under new management. And I'll also speak with Paul Solotaroff about his new book, Body Shop, Parties, Pills, and Pumping Iron, or My Life in the Age of Muscle. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.